This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. Al-yawm thani min shari jumada al-ula. 1446 الموافق للرابع من شهر نوفمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last time we reached a place, if you remember, we're talking about the Zuhur al-Khawarij, right? Mm. And we reached a place where Ibn Hajar said, we did not do this, right? قَالَ عَظُمَ الْبَلَاءُ بِهِمْ. You know, the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sent to the believers through this one was so big at that time. وَتَوَسَّعُوا فِي مُعْتَقَدِهِمْ. And at first it was a political movement, but then later on it turns into aqidah movement. Okay, Khawarij was political movement. You know, just like Shia also political movement. After that also is like that. You know? So, but then they merge with other aqaid because they just want to go against Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Because according to our belief, we have to obey our leaders, we have to respect them, we have to support them to make a success in whatever they do. They don't agree with that. For us, we follow clear instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obey our leaders, follow them, listen to them, respect them, make dua for them, and support them in their mission. You know, because without support, they will never succeed. And who will suffer in the community? We will suffer. What do you benefit if your leader fail? Do you get what I'm saying? You know, what do you benefit if you see the failure of your leader? Yeah, people have to think really smartly. Yeah, that's why it's necessary to make dua for them, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, to hold upon their hands and to put them in the right way. You know, because if they are to be corrupt, if they are to do the wrongdoing, who will be in trouble? You will be in trouble. Everyone in the community will be in trouble. But they don't accept that. Yeah. That's why I said, with no doubt, the most applicable, approach for the world actually nowadays is the approach of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Those who are sticking to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. Yeah. Because it always goes with that which confirms peace in the community and brings stability in the community. And also do everything possible to make sure that the leader succeed. Because what do we want him to do? To succeed in his management, right? So if I don't support him, you don't support him, how is he going to succeed? That's why we help, we support, we make dua, we advise. When we see something wrong, we go in the nice way, we advise him. We send people to go and sit with him and draw his attention on things. Maybe sometimes there are some explanations which we don't see, but he sees them. If he's to explain to us, you might see, you might, you know, change your mind. You know, what they are seeing, you might not see it. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq to do the right thing. So Ibn Hajar said, وَتَوَسَّعُوا فِي مُعْتَقَدِهِمْ. And they expanded that, their aqidah. You know, it was political movement, but now it is aqidah movement. فَأَوْطَلُوا رَجْمَ الْمُحْسَنِ. We talked about this last week. They cancel, you know, the stoning till death. To them, there is no stoning till death. When somebody commits zina and he is muhsan, who is a muhsan? How come you forgot very easily? We said muhsan is somebody, you know, because you're giving me definition that are wrong. Get it? Wrong. Said by some of the Shia. Even Shia also, some of them said this, not all. Which says that a person who married before and he's staying with his wife, But muhsan means somebody who had sexual relationship with a wife in a legal marriage. With a spouse in a legal marriage. So from both sides, male and a female. Sexual relationship in the legal marriage, does it. Then that person becomes a muhsan. Whether the marriage remains or the marriage is gone. Whether he stays with his wife or he stays in another place and she's in another place. The hukum is to stone them till death. And this is found in the Quran, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the text. He kept the hukum there. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khudu anni. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّتِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Those sisters who are committing fahisha among us, in the past Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ, get the witnesses to testify. If they give their testimony sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are sure that these sisters, they commit the zina, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتِ. What do? We have to keep that sister at home until death. She cannot go out until death. That's the first hukum. She has to stay at home by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death. Because zina is izar, is shame. But in woman is more shame than on a man. You know why? Because if a person commits zina, even if the community knows that he commits zina, you know, trust me, but naturally, because he mixed with them from time to time, people forget what he did. They have to dig so much. Maybe when somebody asks them about him, then they remember, oh, last time he did this. But if it is to be done by a woman, trust me, throughout her life, whenever she comes out, because she's very sensitive in the community, and her affair also is very sensitive. So that sensitivity also, if it is connected to a corruption in that way, which tarnished the honor, you know, the most important thing in her honor and dignity, most likely cannot be deleted. So I'm just trying to see how to extract some of the wisdom that we can understand why in the past they have to be kept at home until death. And then Allah says, أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find a way out for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic sunnah, he came and he said, so we got the hukum in the past, right? There are some of the contemporary writers who believe that this hukum should remain. SubhanAllah. Against all the other scholars. May Allah forgive him. He dies. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khudu anni. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. He says, take from me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided a way out for them. You remember in that ayah, he says, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out for them. Rather than staying at home, then they have another thing to do. So, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-bikru bil-bikri, jaldu mi'atin wa tagribu am. The virgin, male and the female, when they commit zina, they have to be flogged 100 times. They have to be beaten 100 times. And also we send them to exile for 1 year. That's the way out. And for the person who is married, from both, he says, جَلْدُ مِئَةٍ وَالرَّجْمُ, 100 lashes and stoning till death. That's the way out. Rather than she staying then until death, or he is going to be humiliated throughout his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are supposed to throw stone on either one of them until they die. That's the way out according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from here you learn that there is a rajm, right? There is a rajm, stoning till death exists. And subhanAllah, in Sahih Bukhari, I guess Amr ibn Maymun, or Maymun ibn Amr, one of the righteous Tabi'een, he says, I think he's Mukhadram, if I'm not mistaken. Mukhadram means somebody who lived in the Jahiliyyah and did not manage to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then he accepted Islam. He said, Ra'aytu ar-rajm fil Jahiliyyah. He said, I saw a rajm in Jahiliyyah. In the time of Jahiliyyah, he said, I saw a rajm. Soon until death. Yani, mutamaddinun wal-liberaliyun, the liberalist. They rejected these type of ahadith. We, for us, as long as the chain is authentic, we accept it. We might say, yeah, maybe his understanding might be wrong, but we believe that it happened precisely in the way he said it happened. Because he said, I saw it. And then people come and reject it. He said, I saw it in monkeys. He said he was there taking care of his sheep. A group of monkeys, you know, monkeys, when they come in group. I don't know about the one that visited you, but the one that visited our apartment in the kampung, when they come in the evening, if you go now, you see them like the whole thing. And the mothers brought their babies. Very nice moment. You see sometimes just the group of mothers coming. Whenever I see a monkey, you just see a mother with a small baby carrying. Yeah. So they have their own system according to their own nature. You know, otherwise, how is it they are organized like this? They know when to come out, you know. And anyway, he said, these monkeys, they come to the place. There was a monkey with another monkey. They're a bit old. And then the old man slept. You get it? The old man slept. And the wife was sleeping on him. And they were sleeping, both of them. And she woke up, the young monkey came. Did some stretches. She got attracted. She went to him. They did whatever they did. And this animal, I don't want to say zina, but they did whatever they did. And subhanAllah, he said when he was watching what happened, because these are animals, they're not human beings for him to go and give them amru bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. They're animal, you know. When it happens, when she came back to the one that she was with, it looks like maybe this is the husband. Yeah. When she came back to him, he smells something. The moment he smells, he started screaming. When he screamed, and she pointed at that younger one. Yeah. Subhanallah. He said they started throwing whatever they can find on that younger monkey who did what he did. They started throwing. He said, Farajamu. Both of them, both of the female and the male who did that thing with them. He said, Warajam to Mahum. And I also take stone, I supported them. This is a narration of Sahih Bukhari, which Imam Bukhari believes that it is truly happened. That's why he was narrating 100% it happened. You might say, maybe they were jinn. Maybe he misinterprets, he understands that this is zina and this is rajm, but maybe he's not. But to him, he says, Ra'aytu rajma fil jahiliyyah. I saw rajm zani fil jahiliyyah, because in front of his eyes, this guy came and this one came with an old man, and then that happens, and then they throw a sword. Ya Allah, these type of illegal relationship, even animals, sometimes they reject some of them. I told you earlier that I have a friend who was a shepherd. Very rough person. We studied together in Medina. You know, he was a shepherd. He lives in the village. He knows that kind of life. He said sometimes, subhanAllah, a cow will come and it will be in need of a male. No matter how much she tried to convince the son, she has a son, he will never come. Look for somebody else. SubhanAllah. He says that he told me also about horses. You know, we have about horses also when it comes to this incest and all of these things. He said, even in animals, it is detested sometimes. So if you close his eyes, the eye of the horse, and you let him have relationship with a horse, another horse, and then he opens his eyes and he finds out that this is his mother. He said he killed himself. He killed. Yeah, subhanAllah. That's why these people who went against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them an'am, animals. He said they are actually worse than animals. Ya Allah. So nothing fit our society except this hukum. Yeah. If you don't want to understand, we should also look at the other side that is affected. How many sisters are in trouble in this dunya nowadays? And when you look at the percentage of those one who are in trouble, male or the female, who is in trouble more? Sisters. Go and look at the statistics and see. Every single minute, they tell you, there is a sister who is in trouble. This one is raped, this one is killed. Yeah. Only Islam works. Iwallah. With this life of ours, only Islam help to protect their right. Yeah. But unfortunately, they also don't understand that they do have a right to be protected. Sometimes they are the first to fight what Islam says, looking at Islam as a very harsh religion. But مَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah, one of the beautiful things about this religion, مَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't oppress anyone. He will let you live in this dunya and face the consequences by yourself. You say, this is what you're choosing? Okay, just go ahead. Allah grant us good. قَالَ وَقَطَعُوا يَدَ السَّارِكِ مِنَ الْإِبْطِ. And they cut off the hand of the thief from the ibt, from this part. Yeah, from the armpit. Yeah, we do from here. They cut from here. So the Khawarij. وَأَوْجَبُ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَى الْحَائِدِ فِي حَالِ حَيْضِهَا. And they make salat wajiba on the haid. When she's a woman that is haid, we understand that in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she doesn't pray. She doesn't fast. Yeah, according to the Khawarij, she has to pray. وَكَفَّرُوا مَنْ تَرَكَ الْأَمْرُ الْمَعْرُوفُ وَالنَّهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. If you don't do amr al-ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar, you're kafir. Then IEM community, according to Khawarij, where do we fit in? Did you ever pass people who are doing the wrong thing and you don't give them Amr Ma'ruf? Yeah, according to the Khawarij, I don't want to complete myself, but I want to understand that how much dangerous is this mu'taqad. Because we are talking about almost everyone is kafir. And you might say, oh, this is your deduction. Ibrahim, no, it's not. I was watching a documentary of one of them in one of the countries they got him. Subhanallah, he said nobody is Muslim except him. Your father, he says, is kafir. Is if you have a chance to kill me, he said, yes, I would definitely. The moderator who was talking to him, he says, about me, he said, kafir. Meaning if you have a chance to kill me, he said, yes, definitely I would do. Subhanallah. This is how dangerous is this aqidah. They use this kufr on the believers. And they give the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relief. So, if you don't do Amr al-Ma'ruf, you are kafir according to the Khawarij. According to Ahl Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, you're committing sin. And it is according to your capability actually. قال إن كان قادرا. So as long as you are capable of doing and you don't do, you are kafir. وإن لم يكن قادرا فقد ارتكب كبيرة. If you are not able to do, then you commit a major sin. There is no way to escape. Either kafir or مرتكب الكبيرة. ومرتكب الكبيرة عندهم, the one who commits a major sin, where does he go? Hell, forever. So what is the difference actually? You get it? They said if you are able to do it and you don't do it, then you are kafir. And if you are not able to do it, and you are murtakibul kabira. Or murtakibul kabira indahu, kafir. The one who is committing a major sin according to the Khawarij is kafir. So what is the difference there? Do you get what I mean, right? They should say all of them are kuffar, and that's it. وَكَفُّوا عَنْ أَمْوَالِ أَهْلِ الذِّمَّةِ وَعَنْ التَّعْرُضِ لَهُمْ مُطْلَقًا. أَهْلُ الذِّمَّةِ, they don't touch them. You know أَهْلُ الذِّمَّةِ, right? They don't touch them, they don't touch their wealth, but they focus on the wealth of the believers. وَفَتَّكُوا بِمَنْ يُنْسَبُ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْقَتْلِ وَالسَّبْي وَالنَّهَبِ. Whoever is attributed to and related to Islam, this is the enemy number one. Subhanallah. وَلَا زَالَ الْخَوَارِجُ يظهر حتى يدرك آخرهم الدجال. The Khawarij will keep emerging, coming out until the last one of them meets Dajjal. So unfortunately, we're going to be living with them until Dajjal.
ففي الحديث عن ابن عمر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ينشأ نشء يقرؤون القرآن لا يجوز ترقيهم كلما خرج قرن قطع. Abdullah ibn Umar said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a group of people will emerge. They will be reading the Quran. لا يجوز ترقيهم. It will never pass that taqwa. This bone says taraqi. So it doesn't cross the throat. Taraqi, these are the two bones here in this space, next to the labba. So it doesn't cross that place. كلما خرج قرن, whenever a horn among them, even the group, I mean, whenever they emerge and they grow, قطع, they will be cut off. And then another one will come. قال ابن عمر, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, كلما خرج قرن قطع أكثر من 20 مرة. He says, more than 20 times. Whenever a horn comes out, it will be cut off. Meaning they will have, you know, sultan. They will have authority, and then it will be cut off. They will emerge, cut off. They will emerge, then they will be cut off. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ فِي إِرَاضِهِمْ الدَّجَّالِ Until the time Dajjal will come in the middle of them. Not among them, because they are not the Jews. Dajjal will come from among the Jewish of Asbuhan, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So the last one will be meeting Dajjal. So that means we are going to live with them. They will come and they go down. So up to date, you have here, if you are watching the media, you know, sometimes you see in some places, subhanAllah, you see the target are the Muslimin, and they call themselves Muslimin, you know. So, in conclusion, please study, you know, and study from the right people, you know, study from the right people, and please divorce social media 100 divorce, except when you need it, when it is necessary, go. And website and all of these things, browse what you are sure about. Your iman is not controlled by you. Yeah, wallahi, iman, when you lose it, is not easy to get it back. And these people are there. Orientalists are there. These people are there. You know, you open a website, you might put yourself in a state of doubt, which removing it will be very difficult. Yeah. So that's very dangerous. So I'm not restricting your freedom. No, you are free to do whatever you want. But always remember that your iman is not controlled by you. And these people are there, just trying to snatch and to catch whoever they can catch. So please, the path of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very clear. Yeah. Beware of all of these invitations that you might get from different types of organizations and groups. Stay away from all of them. All titles and nicknames, just stick to the Mu'taqad Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. What is Mu'taqad Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the first three generations that pass, hold upon that one, until death comes to you. You get it? We have so many groups going around us. Yeah. Some of them, when you follow them, then you're going to end up disrespecting our scholars. Nobody have value, you know, in your brain. The Muslimin also, you don't see anyone with value. You believe that you're the only one who is okay. Yeah. So be very careful. Study from the righteous people and the right scholars and people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال المؤلف رحمه الله موقعة الحرة. The next one is the battle of Harra. Allahu musta'an. It's one of the worst moments that happens in the life of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, we had one during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah, right? We have two battles. Al-Jamal and Siffin. And then Harra came. And Al-Harra هنا is referring to the Harra الشرقية. You have Harratain in Medina, right? Harra الشرقية and Harra الغربية. This is an area that is a bit wide at the side of Medina. And it has a lot of rock, you know, small, dark rocks, which is not easy for a horse to run on them. That's why the enemies of Islam during the Battle of Ahzab, they couldn't attack Medina from any of the Harratain, because they cannot win. They cannot be comfortable in passing, walking on them. So they have to come through another direction. So they say Mawqi' al-Harra, they are referring to this because it happened in Medina. And the cause of this battle was the fact that Abdullah ibn Handala al-Ghasib, you know, Handala, the one that was washed by the angels, right? His son Abdullah, he went to Yazid, visited Yazid with his children, and Yazid honored him. Yazid honored him. You know Yazid, right? Ibn Muawiyah. No. Yazid ibn Muawiyah, one of the darkness of his age, you know, his reign is this. Mawqi' al-Harra. You know, after the assassination of al-Hussein, you know, one of the worst moments, you know, in his life is this. Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah mentioned that he is among those people that we don't curse them, we don't praise them, and we don't love them. You know, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, أول جيش يغزون مدينة قسطنطين مغفور له. The first army that will go and fight Constantine, Allah forgive their sins. And most of the history mentioned that they mentioned that Yazid is on top. If is on top of the army, if not, he was the one who was leading the army. I saw some scholars are trying to justify and modify, you know, not to let him get involved in that favor. I see these things to be things which are unnecessary. If he went, he went. What can you do? Nothing. Right? Did he go or not? That's what matters, you know. No problem. We'll come and listen to the research from Muhammad. Yeah. Yeah. Did he go or not? Yeah. That's what matters. If somebody can establish the fact that Yazid was not there among them, then khalas. We just remain with the word of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He's a Muslim min al-Muslimin, jabbaru min al-jabbara, qasamahu Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amalahu bi naqidhi qasdihi. Allah destroyed him completely. قُطِعَ أَدَابِ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But I love that manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It says, we don't trust him. We don't take anything from him. But they are stopping their criticism against him because of that, which they believe that he is among those people who went to fight Constantine. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Maghfur lahum." So Abdullah ibn Handala al-Ghasil, he went, and Yazid respected him, and he gave him a lot of money. When he came back to Medina, the people of Medina asked him, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Yazid." And they talked against him. They said, you should respect him, he respected you. He said, no, I take that money actually to gain more strength to fight him. He said, if I don't find anyone to help me and to support me in fighting him except my children, the 8 children he has, he said, I will definitely use them to fight him. So they told him, Taqillah, just be patient. He said, no. He said, Yazid is not his leader. And he influenced also the people in Medina, many people. They also take back their bay'ah for Yazid. And they attack the amil of Yazid, the governor that Yazid sent, they attack him. And they trap Banu Marwan, you know, Banu Umayyah. Anyone who is in Medina was in trouble. So that's the reason why they sent to Yazid, informing him about what is going on, and that if he doesn't take action, most likely they will be snatched from the earth. So Yazid got angry. You know, inshallah, if you want to go to the books, Kutub al-Mutawwalat, to get the details of the story. But Yazid got mad. And he was looking for who can go and teach them lessons. Nobody wants to go. Yeah. He first asks somebody, that person says, no, I don't want to go.
And because this is Madinatul Rasulullah. So he looked for Muslim Ibn Uqba al-Mirri, the one that they call him Muslif or Mujrim. His original name is Muslim Ibn Uqba, but because of that event they call him Mujrim or Muslif. So he told him to go and talk to the people of Medina and remind them about their responsibility to follow their leader and to stop what they're doing, to go back to where they were before. And he said to him, if they listen, no problem. Give them 3 days. After 3 days, if they don't listen, then استعن بالله وقاتلهم. But if they listen, because some of the people who are with him, like An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, and many others, they beg him. Numan told him, please, let me go. I want to go. He said, no. I want that one. Because that one is known to be somebody who doesn't care about these things. Numan ibn Bashir, Numan ibn Bashir, Sahabi, Ashabi Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahabi Sahaba. He says, I want to go. He says, no. But anyway, that Musrif went to the place, Muslim ibn Uqba, but his name turned into a Muslim. He went and he talked to the people of Medina. Are you willing to go back to your bay'ah of the Yazid, or you want to fight? They said, we want to fight. They said, we want to fight. And subhanAllah, he fought them. They fought him because he has around, 10,000 soldiers or more than that. Huge amount of army. He went to the place and he fought them. A very strong battle between them. So he defeated the people of Medina. Yazid told him, according to what some of the history writers mention, although one of our scholars in Medina used to deny this. Wallahu alam. History, almost wherever you read history will say that Yazid told him to make Medina halal for 3 days. He says, فَإِنْ ظَفَرْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ بِهِمْ فَأَبِحِ الْمَدِينَةَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. He says, make Medina halal for 3 days. And according to the history, he did. He said they have not less than 1,000 sisters became pregnant because of that. Because Medina became halal for all of those fighters, just get any sister they want and commit zina with her. Just like that. And we're talking about 800. Some of them said 700, like Imam Malik. And these are the people they know. They said, as for those who they don't know them, we're talking about more than 1,000 of people who died. So many companions ran away. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri also ran. Jabir ibn Abdullah ran. They did not get involved. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya also did not join. Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin also did not join. Abdullah ibn Umar, he called his children, he told them, whoever retract his bay'ah for Yazid, that means there is no relationship between me and him. Because according to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're not supposed to do that. What Abdullah ibn Hamdala is doing was wrong. Was wrong. That's why he told his people, his children, he says, whoever says that he is not obeying Yazid, he's going to face my anger. I'm going to disconnect myself from any relationship with him. And that's what he told Uswa al-Husayn. When Hussein was going to people of Kufa against Yazid, he also told him the same thing. And the people of Makkah also, the companions told him, ittaqillah, just fear Allah, relax, be patient, obey your leader, don't go. That qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we lost him at the end of the day. Those people invited him and deceived him also. The companions reminded him. Abdullah ibn Zubayr also, when he also disobeyed, Abdullah ibn Umar also warned him. He told him, no, you're doing the wrong thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised you to be patient, don't do. He also doesn't want to listen. Qadr. They came and they killed him and they killed whoever was with him. They throw Kaaba with manjaniq, There's so many facade in that place. That's why when you look at the history, this one happens. Was it a tragedy? Ewallah. one of the worst moments in the history that happens to the Muslimin is this one. This is Medina to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not any other place. It's Medina. We're talking about more than 1,000 sisters became pregnant from zina being committed by the criminals against them. We're talking about 800 people being killed. Some are saying more than 1,000 people lost their life in those days. A'udhu billah. So that was ijtihad done by those predecessors of ours. But it's wrong, because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, the big companions, told them this is wrong. That's why I always mention that according to our aqidah, we are supposed to be patient. Yes, life is very tough, but we're supposed to observe patience. Because who will be happy with the chaos to happen in their community? Who wants this? Allah, in my experience, anyone who has his own consciousness, after the chaos takes place, nobody is happy. Those people who are the perpetrators, you know, who brought it, although many of them also are paid, actually, to do whatever they did, alhamdulillah, they are not happy. They are not happy. And some of our countries being submitted to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know when are we going to get it back. Some of them life became worse. Many people are displaced. How many houses in Tahab, sisters, or Tusibat, you know, Allahu alam. So if you go to the history, apart from these that I have mentioned, Fitnat al-Qurra, also you see that one. Also they wage war against the Khalifa at that time, during the time of Al-Hajjaj. SubhanAllah. They went into so many battles, and this is one of the fitan that you might say, yeah, if I'm going to join one of them, I will join this one. Because all the participants, either a scholar or Hafiz al-Kitabillah. Big scholars actually. Like Sayyid ibn Jubayr, many, big scholars. But it wasn't a success. We have them running away from their own places for years. They cannot relax and teach. It's a test for them. But if you go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying sabar, sabar, be patient. So it is my personal advice. I know this issue is very emotional nowadays. People are not willing to listen to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Quran. Yeah. They're not willing to listen. You know, whatever you say, people are going to misinterpret it. But I really sincerely advise all of us to study and to remain calm. Don't be the reason why chaos will take place in the Muslim community. Yeah, you will be responsible. Whatever happened, you will be responsible. And don't be motivated by the evil among us. Those people who usually actually don't join. You know, it's quite interesting. Usually they don't join. They put others in front and they run away. Sometimes they even leave the country. They let the younger ones face the consequences. Yeah, because many of them, I believe, they have been paid to do that, to destabilize the country. But people in the community will come with good intention. You know. Yeah, will come with good intention. Yeah. But good intention doesn't work here. Good intention doesn't work. A person has to follow the correct way. So it is my personal advice to all of you here and whoever will listen. We should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure that whatever we do is in line with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Yeah. Don't rush. Then do things without having clear evidence from the Sharia that you are supposed to go for this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and ability to follow our predecessors and to be patient, to support our leaders, to make dua for them, to guide them whenever they need our guidance, to do everything possible to make sure they succeed in their mission. Wallahi, this is not a joke. If a leader succeeded in the mission, you will be happy. The community will be happy. What do you benefit if you see him failing? What do you benefit? Because his failure is a failure of the community. You will suffer. Your family will suffer. The community will suffer.
So what is the best way out? Make dua for him, help him, support him. Don't go against, as the Prophet ﷺ said, unless if you are commanded to disobey Rabbul Alameen. قال ثم تتابع وقوع الفتن بعد ذلك ومن ذلك ومن هذه الفتن موقعة الحرة المشهورة في أهل يزيد بن معاوية. So this is one of the fitna that happens in the time of the companions, very famous fitna in the time of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. والتي استبيحت فيها مدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. مدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was being made halal for everyone to do whatever he wants for 3 days. وقتل فيها كثير من الصحابة. Many companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم were killed in that. They don't get involved, but since those people, they are ghawha, useless, idiots, they just kill whoever they. Abu Darda, Abu Sayyid al-Khudri was running away, trying to go to a rock and hide himself there. Somebody met one of those criminals from Sham, and he was holding his sword. So Abu Darda saw him, he also pulled out his sword. When the man saw him pulling out his sword, then he actually rushed to him to fight. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, when he saw that, he put it back. He put his sword back. When the man approached him, he says, "Inni uridu an tabu'a bi'ithmi wa ithmika fatakun min ashabin nar." He says, "I am putting back my sword because I want you to go back to Allah SWT with my sin and your sin, and then you go to hell because of that." So the man said, "Subhanallah, look at how Allah protected him, because he's going to kill a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So the man said, "Man ant? Who are you?" He says, "Ana." Abu Sayyid al-Khudri. He said, "My name is Abu Sayyid al-Khudri." He said, "Oh, Sahib Rasulullah." He said, "Yes." And then he put his sword back and left. SubhanAllah. So many companions of the Prophet ﷺ lost their life. Abdullah ibn Hanzala was killed. He and his children, all of them. Abdullah ibn Muti was killed, also together with his family. Many, 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 many companions lost their life during that battle. So that's why this is one of the dark, pages of the life of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. One of the dark and worst pages, Add to that assassination of the son, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he wasn't the one who did, he cursed the one who did, but it was done under his leadership. He was supposed to provide full protection to the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's responsible. Nobody says he's not responsible. He cannot come and tell anyone that, no, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad in Kufa was the one who did. No. Yazid ibn Muawiyah is responsible. This is our aqidah, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But we don't say like what others are saying. They take him to hell. We say, Amruhu ilallah. It's like Hajjaj. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf is one of those people who work under Yazid. SubhanAllah. Dhahabi, when he described him, who's Al-Hajjaj and what he did, right? Imam Dhahabi says about Al-Hajjaj, لَهُ حَسَنَاتٌ مَغْمُورَةٌ فِي بَحْرِ سَيِّئَتِهِ. He has righteous deed which sinks, sink in the ocean of his sayyat, of his evil deed. I love this kind of description, because Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we're the people of justice. If somebody has reward, even one, we keep that one, since Allah SWT kept it for him. He did, we say, yeah, he did something good. But at the same time, we explain who this person is. He kept for him that favor. He said, Lahu Hasanat, he has some things, because during the time of Al-Hajjaj, many land were conquered. Muslim land got to be expanded. But at the same time, when you compare this with his evil behavior, A'udhu Billah, A'udhu Billah. So Jannah and hell is given by Rabbul Alameen. It's not our job to decide who goes to Jannah and who goes to hell. As long as a person is Muslim, we believe that this person died in Islam, no matter how much bad is his practice in Islam, we keep him in that way. That is a possibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show mercy upon him. Qala Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, ثارت الفتنة الأولى فلم يبق ممن شهد بدرا أحد. The first fitna happened, and amongst those people who participated in the Battle of Badr, none of them remained. SubhanAllah, they're gone. ثم كانت الثانية. The second one happened. فَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِمَّنْ شَهِدَ الْحُدَيْبِيَةَ أَحَدٍ. And all of those who participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, none of them remained.
قَالَ وَأَظُنْ لَوْ كَانَتِ الثَّالِثَةَ لَمْ تَرْتَفِعُ وَفِي النَّاسِ تَنْبَعَ.
He says, and I believe, if the third one is to happen, he says, it will never be removed from the ummah while there is good in the people. Tabakh here is referring to good in the people. Somebody who has any nafa in him. Again, somebody who has aql. Yeah. Meaning that this fitna, the third one that is going to happen, is going to be really, really bad.
قال البغوي وأراد بالفتنة الأولى مقتل عثمان.
He's referring to the assassination of Uthman when he says the first fitna.
والثانية الحرة.
And the third one is موقعة الحرة. The Ghazwat of Al-Harra. And you can see many companions, as he says, many companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost their life. So in conclusion, all that I can say to myself and my brothers and sisters, sabr, be patient, be patient, be patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already told us that time will be tough for the believers. You know, they will receive a lot from the wrongdoers among the leaders. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what would you advise us to do?
قَالَ اسْبِرُوا.
He said, be patient. He said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your right and give them their right. Give them their right and ask Allah to take your right from them. In some narration, they said, Ya Rasulullah, why can't we fight them? He said, no. مَا أَقَامُوا فِيكُمْ الصَّلَاةِ. As long as they let you pray, you don't fight. And in some places, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنْ أَخَذَ مَالَكْ وَضَرَبَ ظَهَرَكْ. Even if he's taking your wealth and beating you up, said, observe patience. We're going to see, inshallah, in the next fitna al-qawl bi khalq al-Qur'an, many scholars got beaten. They don't take revenge. Yeah, they don't take revenge. Our great scholars, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, many other scholars. Imam Malik, they broke his hand, irhamukallah. Imam Abu Hanifa was sent to jail. None of them, was having a smooth life. They all passed through this test, but we never had anyone come into for the protest to fight those leaders and to do anything. They always advise people to calm down, regardless of what was done against them. You know. So please, Shabab, relax, be patient, sabr, sabr, sabr. Don't do things which you will come and regret in the future. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that if you contribute to any fitna that will happen in the community, whatever tragedy that takes place within the Muslim territories, wallahi, you will also be responsible. And don't be used by the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, in most of these places that happen in our time, you know, people are being bought. You know, yeah, people are being paid to come and do what they're doing. Yeah, Muslim is smart. Yeah, look into the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That would be the best way out. So please, once again, sabr, be patient, be patient. Make dua for the leaders to succeed. Support them wherever you can to succeed. Your failure is not good. I'm sorry, their failure is not good for anyone. Do everything possible to make sure that they have a success in their leadership. Then everyone is going to enjoy. Imam Ahmad said, if he has chance to make dua for one, if he has one chance to make dua for himself, which he is sure that Allah SWT will accept it, he said, this dua is going to be for a leader, to be a good leader. He said, if I have chance, I will definitely make this dua for the leader to be good. Because the success of a leader is the success of the community. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dinu nasiha." قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولرسوله لكتابه ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم نصيحة لله والله the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and then he says the book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and the leaders also نصيحة to them. What is نصيحة to the leader? Supporting him, making dua to him, support him whenever you can support and don't go against him, obey him as long as he doesn't ask you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't make dua against. Yeah. Because if Allah curse him, you will pay the price, you also, you yourself.
Matil Muslimin. Also you make nasiha to them. So I guess this are more than enough, inshallah. As I said, I know this is a very emotional and sensitive topic that in our time, either you say people go out and do this and that, or else you will get a lot of titles and descriptions. So I don't care about all of these things, actually. What matters with me is what Rasulullah said we should do. Yeah, I believe in what he says, and I believe that he says life is not going to be smooth in the future. And I believe that he says we should be patient. And I believe that the companion told him, Ya Rasulullah, we can fight them back. He says, no, don't. He said, as long as they establish the prayer, they let you pray, then you shouldn't fight them back. Alhamdulillah, like what Sheikh Nasir used to say always, that is good in the ummah. Try, maintain that peaceful moment and do the right thing. Don't rush, don't be so enthusiastic in the way, you will do things in the wrong way, and the balance of the khayr that remain in the ummah might be taken because of your rush. And believe me, there are circumstances when you will be provoked. Those enemies, they just want to provoke you so that you will take action negatively, and then khalas, they have a good justification to take action against you and what you're doing and whatever is happening which is good to the community. So in conclusion, please sabr. Sabr, sabr, sabr. Know your leaders and respect them and obey them, and make dua for them to succeed in whatever they do. So inshallah, in the next dars, we will move on to the al-qawl, fitnat al-qawl bi khalq al-Qur'an. The fitna that affect the Muslim community when you have some of the khulafa who believes that Qur'an is created. You know, who supported them in that? Mu'tazila, yeah. Those people, Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila. Those people who call themselves ulama, but they are ulama as-su. Because we have those who are not Mu'tazila, you know, who also side with the fitna. Either they keep silent, you know, and support the person who is doing, and try to convince the scholars, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, to change their mind. You know, you have those ones. That's why, who is worse? A corrupt leader or a corrupt scholar? Why corrupt scholar?
Because the corrupt scholar can bring people to hell.
Leader cannot bring them to hell?
The leader can kill people and he can steal, but they will die, and they will die as Muslims, and they will enjoy themselves in Jannah. The corrupt scholar will lead people.
Very straightforward answer. Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, وَهَلْ أَفْسَدَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْمُلُوكُ وَأَحْبَارُ سُوءٍ وَرُهْبَانُهَا. Two people he mentioned, Al-Muluk wa ulama su. And if you are going to make comparison, the bad rulers and the bad scholars, if you are making comparison between the two, who is worse? More dangerous to the community? The second one, the scholars, when they go bad. Yeah, because maximum the bad and the corrupt leader can do is to force you to do what they want, but they cannot change your heart. Still maintain your iman. But this alim, you see this one? What color is this? Don't look at the writing from inside. Just say, white. Trust me, alim will come and tell you this is black, and you make you believe that it's black, and you go and fight other people who believe it is white. Yeah. You see, I take a bottle of water, I drink in the middle of the room. Oh, you want? Then he will never bring it again. Let's say this. Sorry, Waqas. I'm just kidding. Let's say this is the water. Alim, and they are. I'm not making stories. You know, they are people who drink in Ramadan, in the day of Ramadan. They drink water. They eat food. And then when the people got shocked, the student said, no, you cannot talk to a sheikh like this. Because it appears to you that he's drinking water, but realistically he's solving some problem in Palestine. And subhanAllah, there are people who believe in that. That's why they defend, you know. They say what you see is not the reality. So this person might commit zina, might do every wrongdoing, you know, and when you talk, they tell you, no, what you see is not reflecting their reality. Realistically, he's not doing what you are seeing. Do we have some people believing in them? Yes. All of these ulama usu, the layman in society that follow them, they follow them because of the explanation given to them. They manage to convince them. And sometimes you will be thinking, how, why on earth somebody accepts this? But they are all accepted. That's why the most dangerous amongst the two bad rulers and bad scholars is the bad scholars. Because they might twist your iman. As Adam said, you might end up going to hell because of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to truth. So both are in need of our support and dua. You Allah. Alim is in a very dangerous situation. He needs dua from the people for him to maintain his iman and istiqamah. A ruler is in a very dangerous situation. He needs support, especially rulers in our time nowadays, you know, being surrounded by all types of evils, you know, threat from here and there. They really need our dua, you know, support for them to be able to do that which is right. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Nazim, do we have questions?
Yes. How many questions do you have?
Six. Let me ask first.
Sure, Masi. At least give him one chance.
At least one question.
Then we go to that.
Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Inna Allah la yaghfiru ayyushraka bih. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika lima yasha. So Allah does not forgive shirk, but He forgave what's lesser than shirk. But then there's an opinion that says killing someone is also not forgiven. So if you kill someone, yeah, if a person kills someone, he has to enter Jahannam until he's like the sin is like
because of the ayah of An-Nisa. وَمَا يَقْتُلُ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهِ.
Now, Sheikh, this ayah. إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار. So Habil said to Qabil, فتكون, and it's فا سببية. So it shows that Qabil will enter hell. Yes, Sheikh. So it means that anyone who kills someone will enter hell. He's not forgiven.
Yeah, no. This is قضية عين. You know, you cannot take this one and generalize. We have umumat and nusus. You combine all of them together, then you come up with the correct ruling. Saying that if you do this, you will go to hell. Rasulullah ﷺ said it in many places. But at the same time, scholars believe that it's still under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? This action is leading a person to hell. When you do this, you will go to hell. Or to interpret it correctly, you might be entitled to hell. You're putting yourself, under the possibility of you going to hell. Where do we get this? Because there are other nusus also that cannot be neglected, that confirms to us that مُرْتَكِبِ الْكَبِيرَةِ لَا يُخَلَّدِ فِي النَّارِ. That's why they talk about that خالد and فيها mentioned in the ayah. What does it mean? They don't use this ayah because this ayah doesn't mean that a person will go to hell and remain forever. Killing somebody is one of the causes of hell. For sure, as you said, سَبَبِيَّةِ is one of the causes that take a person to hell. But it doesn't mean that he has to stay there in hell forever. You get it? And they use that ayah of the Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَالِدًا فِيهَا. They say, خُلُود sometimes doesn't mean staying forever and ever. That's why sometimes he says, خَالِدِنَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. When he mentioned abad, then خلاص, we know that this person will remain in hell. You get it? Unless if that is another ta'wil that this person is making it halal, that's where he goes to hell for forever. That's why according to the best approach of the scholars is that the person who kills another person, he has three rights over him. Right of Allah, right of the family members, and right of the deceased, the murdered person. The right of Allah when he repents, that's gone. The right of the right of the family when he pays the diyah is gone also. Now he remained with the right of the deceased. This one has to be settled on the day of judgment. Just wait first until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them will be brought for the real judgment. And you know there is no forgiveness actually. Yeah. So, but if a person repented,
and he fixes his affairs, and he does the righteous deed. When he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will pay from his bounties, not from the reward of that person who killed. You get it? Qatil al-nafs, he killed, but then he repents, he became a salih, very good, dedicated person. You get the idea? And he did that kill, and he paid the diyah. You get it? The family forgive, they forgive to the diyah. Okay? And then now what left is the right of that person, because that one cannot be cancelled. You get it? So on the day of judgment, the case will be reopened. If he is righteous, Allah SWT knows how to settle that case without touching his reward, as long as he fixes himself. Because at-tawbah tatajubbu ma qablaha. But the right of others cannot be forgiven, except by those people who own the right. And that one could be settled on the day of judgment. So what I will advise is, jam'un nusus ba'daha ma'bad. You remember the statement of Ali ibn Madini, al-babu idha lam yajma' turquhu lam yatabayyan khata'uhu. You need to put them together, then you come up with the correct approach, inshallah.
Sheikh, so one more time. This statement of Habil, فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ, is only specific for...
Only specific that person.
No, not.
Can I tell a person, when you kill a person, you enter hell? I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to say this. I can tell him, killing him is one of the major causes that take you to hell. And not only that, in this dunya, Allah SWT will put you in a state of difficulty, one on top of the other. Allah will never let you relax. You're going to mess up your life, and it's a curse that will keep on chasing you throughout your life. And when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of the worst type of sins ever committed on earth. Worse than zina. That's why you see shirk, and then لا يقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنو. You know, it's very, very, very bad thing for a person to do. Abdullah ibn Umar said, إِنَّ مِنْ وَرْطَاتٍ أُمُورٍ الَّتِي لَا مَخْرَجِ لِمَنْ أَوْقَعَ نَفْسَهُ فِيهَا صَفْكُ الدَّمِ الْحَرَامِ. One of the critical moments that whoever gets himself inside will never go out of it, he said, is to shed the blood that is not permissible for somebody to shed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزَالُ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي فُسْحَةٍ مِنْ دِينِهِ مَا لَمْ يُسِبْ دَمًا حَرَامًا. A person will keep on having chances for him to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as he doesn't shed the blood that is haram. And the Prophet said, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You know, to have dunya entirely being swept, you know, is much easier in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than shedding the blood of a believer. So many hadiths that support this, then you tell him this, but you don't tell him you'll go into hell. That's Allah's right. You know.
Assalamualaikum Sheikh, I have a question. So in Surah Mulk, Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Allah says at the end that we have created you, we have created
death
and also
life.
A life. And at the end it says the best of good deeds. And there's hadith which says that the story of a person who removed the branch out of the streets and he entered Jannah. So is it true that that all the deeds that we do, Allah will only choose one deed specifically and that will make you to enter Jannah?
No. Nobody's saying this. Whatever you did will never be neglected, no matter how much small it is. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Anything you do, everything. But the favor that Allah wants to grant the good ones is, you ask the angels to look into your righteous deeds. You know, they are not the same. Right? They are not the same. This one is so big, this one is little. Allah will ask the angel to evaluate the rest according to the best one. They will pick up the best one and make the rest of your deed look like the best one. That's an increase in your reward. Do you get it? Rather than giving 1,000 rewards, but the value is different. Mm-hmm. Allah might ask the angel to make it 1,000 rewards with the value of the best one. Mm-hmm. Rather than having different values. You did this, but the value is like that. Sometimes your sincerity is not that much. Allah can forgive all of them and treat you with the best type of rewards. Mm-hmm. You get it? But to say that Allah will pick up one reward, Allah doesn't do this. But you can put it in this way, Lutfi, to tell the one that you're speaking to, don't belittle a righteous deed because you don't know which one amongst your righteous deed Allah will pick up and take you and be the cause of you going to Jannah. Mm.
You get it? It doesn't mean that the rest of your righteous will be neglected. None of them will be neglected. They will be counted. That is the amount of deed Allah wants you to fulfill. You have to come back with those ones. And that's why every single thing will be counted. Not only that, He multiplied what you did by 10 to make sure, to grant you opportunity and ability to succeed. Because sins are very evil. You know, if Allah is going to make it one good deed, one evil deed. When you do a sin, you get one. When you do a reward, you get one. Most likely you will not make it to paradise. Because some of the sins are very evil. But Allah wants to make it, when it comes to the sins, only one sin will be written. When it comes to the reward, Allah multiply it by 10. You get 10 rewards. So that you will pass the test. There's still some people that want to pass. Allah grant us good. Jama'at al-Zul.
We have a question by a brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Regarding protests and such activities against the government, if the country allows such activities, are we still asked to have patience?
Well, I advise the Muslims to look into what they're doing. Whatever is not necessary, stay at home is better. Look at the way it is done. In many places, vandalization. Vandalizing people's properties, free mixing, you know, haram things are being committed, waste of a lot of money, and waste of time, you know. And at the end of the day, the situation is the same in the way it is. It's getting worse. And in many places also, other people are going to take over. It's peaceful, but then it turned into violence. It's in the authority and the people who are doing it. I think we have eyes, we have ears, we see in the media what is going on in many places, right? I think that should be the best example for the Muslim to make sure he does the right thing. There is nothing better than peace after Islam. Much more greater than food you're eating. Because without peace, you will not be able to be productive. You can't relax to do what you're supposed to be doing. So don't contribute or participate to the peace to be removed in the community.
Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh. The second question by the same brother. Sheikh, some of the countries have an rising number of teenagers or youth becoming radicalized. It's a sign of end of times, as the Prophet said, Sufahaul Ahlam. How do we combat this?
Inshallah, we'll come to see when the Sufaha ul Ahlam come. Can we relate it to having, but having bad tarbiyah in the community is a sign of the Day of Judgment, in general.
Okay.
Finish.
No, we have three more questions. Okay, sure. First question by Suhail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I have a question. Requesting a registration fee from each contestant of a program and giving a certain amount as a prize, is it considered gambling?
It depends. If everyone has to pay something and then at the end of the day there is a winner and a loser, that's gambling. Finish.
No. Two more questions. Okay, Sheikh.
Amazed of my speed in answering questions.
Yes.
No, it depends. We cannot play games because sometimes we call it registration, but it's just name being given. But realistically, this is just ishtirak.
But if it's used for the event and for the payment of the event,
don't make a winner and a loser. Just give them certificate of participation and write in the certificate first and last, and that's it. But if there's somebody to win and somebody to lose, and they're paying to win and they lost, you think they'll be happy? No. They will not think of that food that you gave them. All they remember is their money is being gone.
Okay, next question by Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Sheikh, what is the hikmah behind lashing a muhsan 100 times when they'll be stoned anyway? Is it to cause them shame in public?
Okay, I think last time we mentioned this, maybe Shafa missed it, that the vast majority of the scholars said only stoning till death. Only a few amongst the scholars said we should combine both. But the best opinion is the one that says we shouldn't combine.
Next question by Sister Mourni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Ahsan Allahu alaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. A sister told me she was looking for a Sunnah community, but unfortunately ended up in a Khawarij community. She only realized a year after. Can Sheikh please share signs or thinking process for
but
a person?
That's her problem, actually. To look for a place called Sunnah communities. There is no such thing.
Can I defend her?
No need to defend her. She's also going to tell you, Adam, no need to do that. Yeah, there's no such thing as Sunnah communities. Because if you say, what is a Sunnah community?
A group of people who place emphasis on following the Sunnah.
And they don't commit sins.
They commit sins, but they conceal them.
Is it part of the Sunnah committing sin?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Check Sunnah is the Aqidah. The Aqidah is correct.
I don't think they meant that. And also, they don't make, in that community, nobody's making mistakes. That's why I would propose looking for a good neighborhood where people try their best not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See a place where you don't see a lot of bad things. Your Zoom doesn't work?
He's breaking up.
Should have turned on.
Okay, from here I don't see any problem. Maybe.
What do you mean, the Salafi community?
I don't know, who are they? Yeah, that's why my advice to any person, you know, I see the first mistake, why is she disappointed? Because she's looking for something that she will not find. Where do you find this community? Community that, Yusuf, wait. Adam already mentioned his proposal to defend. I said no. And you are by force taking my right to defend, right? Yeah. It's a very lovely question to hear, this question and this effort by the sister. But we should try not to do things which will be disappointed and then discouraged in the future. Which community you find on earth that don't commit sin? So rather than calling it a community that is Islam community or Sunnah community, you know, these are praised places, you know, I prefer not to do that. That's number one. Number two, also you're taking attention of people. People will think, what? Like what you said, end up following a scene, going to the Khawarij, you know. Look for a community that is conducive, you know, for you to survive and to protect the terbiyah of your family. That's it. A decent place. Where you don't say there is no sin, because it's impossible to find a community that doesn't commit sin. But moderately, a reasonable place, the place that inshallah, the vast majority of the people in the place, they pray to Allah, they fast, they preserve Islam, they preserve the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without giving them title. Salafi, Tablighi, whatever you give them, without giving them title. You know, these are just people live randomly. Because I am against also grouping yourself, group of people, they just agree, they come to go to a place and stay. This one doesn't work?
Sorry, Sheikh, it's really bad. Can you please switch to my phone? Please make sure to mute and just...
I switch mine. Switch off mine.
Your mic on your laptop, yes.
No problem. Actually, the time is off anyway. Make life easy for you. Happy? So, what was I saying? Yeah.
Looking for titles, just looking for good people.
No, I'm against any group of people who agree to go to a place, you know, they just agree to go and establish a new environment for themselves. It's very dangerous, wallah. Because if they're not careful, these are the places where slowly, slowly, gradually people turn into the Aqidah of Khawarij. That's what happened. Rasulullah never advised us to do that. He only say you go and live in a forest when there is no good at all. Mm-hmm. No good. I don't think we are in this situation up to date. We have classes. We have many, many other classes and opportunities being opened for the Ummah. So life is still good. There are still opportunities. That's just a chance. Why would you go away, you know, and stay in an isolated area? I don't think it's good.
I've heard about some long ago, and they end up also having a manhaj. Wallahi, if you hear what they're doing, you'll get scared. A brother or sister who joined them, you have to make sure that you don't tell anyone about them. You don't. If we are correct, why am I hiding myself and also mentioning that I shouldn't share with anyone? And also, if you join that community, you cannot go out. You know, you cannot go out. That's how the Khawarij begins. Yeah. So my advice to our brothers and sisters, whenever you go and look for a community, look for a decent and good community. Al-Jaru qabla al-dahr. Neighbor before the house. Look for a good community. There is masjid, and people are trying their best to maintain the tarbiyah. This is the best place you should be choosing. Without having a title or having a name, you know, catching the attention of others. And you also, you're not sure whether you will be doing what you said you will be doing or not. Is that clear, inshallah? Yeah. So that's my response to the sister. You know. There is another question that comes.
So Luqman has this question. He's asking, Sheikh, how, how many of the minor signs have already occurred? Can we say half of them?
We don't know. We don't know. Please advise Luqman to be patient with us. Inshallah, we will keep on studying. Whenever we study a minor sign, he can, okay, number one, it happened. Number two, happened. Yeah, I don't know. I cannot tell you half, more than half, I can't.
I mean, how close but, we are to minor signs?
Wallahu alam. Allah. Allah says, Qiyamah is near. And we have, from the time he said Qiyamah is near, we have 1,400 years. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته